Hey, thanks for pressing play on episode 81 of the Jock and Nerd Podcast. This is our full spoiler Deadpool movie review. Oh yeah, we're going to geek out on the chimichanga eating fourth wall breaking raunchy ass Merc with the mouth. Cue the music.
It's the Jock and Nerd Podcast with your hosts, Anthony and Imran.
What's up, friend? Thanks for joining us. This is the Jock and Nerd Podcast. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
He's the nerd.
And this is our big Deadpool movie review show. Joining us for the Deadpool chimichanga shenanigans is our favorite felty American, Mr. Rugberto Bambino, also known as the Rug Boy. What's up, Rugs?
What's up, Imran? What's up, Anthony? How you doing?
Good. And
how's the chimichangas going?
Oh, these chimichangas.
Right through me.
Oh, boy. They shoot through you like a Daryl firing a rocket launcher on The Walking Dead. That's what they do. Hey, also, we got another special guest who really wanted to hang out and geek out with Deadpool with us. Joining us from the road, a little bit of mobile podcasting, it's Mr. Do-Right. Do-Right, what is up?
Hey, what's up, guys? I couldn't miss this, so I had to, man, I'm driving from like Timbuktu to Slimity Dickets or whatever, and I had to be on here on the podcast, man. You know I love y'all to death.
Well, dude, we appreciate it. Durant is...
We love you just as much as you love us, yeah. Love us, if not more, so...
He's in between Bumblefuck and where the fuck are we right now?
Yeah.
Driving on the road out somewhere in the Lone Star State. Durant, thanks for joining us, and thanks for joining the Jock and Nerd Podcast for this. If you are a first-time listener, you can find show notes for everything that we talk about at jockandnerd.com/Deadpool/81. But I wanted to mention, if you're a first-time listener, make sure you check out our last show because we have a lot of fun on Blab. We do live shows weekly. We talk about the week's comic books. Rugs, Rug Boy, you can meet Rug Boy.
Not exactly the week's comic books. The week's comic book TV shows.
I forgot to finish the sentence.
Yeah, because that's a totally different topic, and we would be misleading our audience if you said
Imran's something. A pathological liar.
I am, a little bit. Look, this is a perfect example of what happens on the live shows because I get excited and I misspeak. So before we go anywhere, I have to apologize to our listener. If you tuned into the last show, we met listener Jesse Looney. I'm an asshole and I kept calling him Jesse Lyons.
Oh, shit.
So, Jesse, I'm sorry. If you're listening, I apologize. The name is Jesse Looney.
He's got 14 more episodes or something like that, so he won't know about this till tomorrow.
Is that his real last name, like Looney, or is that just what he calls himself?
No, I believe that's his last name.
Holy shit, balls.
Yeah, and he's a volunteer firefighter, so you got to be a little bit loony to do that. It fits him.
I want to just quickly acknowledge that we're a bit late on getting this Deadpool review show out. I just want to acknowledge
it
for our
audience.
Late,
though? I mean, it's time-shifted
audio.
Probably
should have been out earlier, but it's coming out soon, whenever this posts. Today's Monday, February 22nd.
That's my fault.
No, it's actually my fault because we had a recording scheduled for last week, and I decided to go see Fetty Wap instead.
How was that?
Bro, do you even podcast?
The jock had to see the Fetty Wap. That's why, people.
It was free, so it was great.
Oh, okay.
Good show, though?
Yeah, it's all right. I was drunk, so it
didn't matter.
It's all that matters. That's all that matters.
But anyways, just check out our live shows, jockandnerd.com, for all the details. It's right there. On the front page. All right, gang, let's get into this Deadpool geekery.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
Before I issue the spoiler alert, we're just going to go over a couple of details, a couple of numbers.
Okay.
Anthony?
Is that my cue?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, so recording Monday, February 22nd. As of February 21st... Deadpool's domestic total was $236 million.
Oh, shit.
And combine that with the foreign gross, it's at almost $500 million.
Jesus.
This marks it currently at 17th all-time in superhero movies.
Whoa.
And right now it's number one in R-rated comic book adaptions and number one in the X-Men franchise. So it's beaten all the movies already.
I think I felt my balls tingle.
Rug Boy. Oh, that's what happens in the movie. Rug Boy.
Also opening weekends in February and opening weekends in the winter, as well as R-rated opening weekends, and it's currently sixth all-time in R-rated movies. It's only been out 2 weeks.
Unbelievable. And Rugboy, you had a prediction, and your prediction we thought was crazy.
Insane, I thought it was.
And it passed the prediction. Do-Right, what do you make of all this record-breaking stuff that it's doing?
Well, I think it's great and also a curse at the same time, and we'll get into that later on when you ask the right questions.
Yes, that's a very good observation. So, look, real quick, Deadpool, created by Rob Liefeld and Fabian Nicieza, 1991, first appearance, New Mutants, number 98. In 1991, this movie is directed by Tim Miller. I wanted to start, say, for the listener, if you haven't seen this movie yet, everyone, just take a couple minutes, give us a quick overall thoughts, and who would you recommend this movie to? Who is it for? Anthony, want to go first?
Sure. I appreciate the lining up and going first.
I'm a hosting, people.
You're a great host. Who would I cue this movie up for? I would say the most casual of casual fans, because literally anybody that I've met that has been casual moviegoer at best, not that into comics, has seen this movie and come back to me and said, that movie's really funny.
Yeah.
And I may not completely agree with it, but I think this movie is built for the casual moviegoer.
Okay. Interesting. Do-Right, what say you?
Well, I say that this movie was made for the diehard Deadpool fan and anybody that's really into pop culture, because a lot of stuff that was in that movie, a lot of the gags and jokes were like above some people's head. Like the Star Wars reference Vanessa said, I'm going to ride your back like Yoda did Luke.
Yeah.
So a lot of people didn't catch that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Okay, that's a different audience. Rugboy, who is this movie for?
This movie is for assholes.
Oh, shit.
Nails it again.
No, what can you say? I mean, look, I went in there wanting to hate it. I wanted to hate it because I have disdain for Deadpool as a character. Like the popularity that he has and everything. We've all sung this song a million times on the show.
Yeah, if you listen to the show, you know Ruggs is not a fan of the Deadpool.
But, you know, Ryan Reynolds, he threw his heart and soul into this fucking thing. All right? And he was never right to play Green Lantern. He was never right to play Green Lantern. Like, so he fits Deadpool. He likes Deadpool. He wants it to be successful. He fucking puts the suit on and does these stupid things. And, you know, it works. You know, when the actor is so into it, if it was another person being Deadpool, I don't think it would work as good.
Absolutely.
So this is all kudos to, if you're a Ryan Reynolds fan, if you like Reynolds rap, if you
if you like the cook with the Reynolds aluminum,
if you like
foil,
the color red, you know, if you jokes, you like dick jokes.
If you're an ass,
you probably like this movie because Deadpool acts a lot like Rugboy. You know, in a lot of
Rugboy
ways.
Says, if you're an asshole, you'll love this movie.
Oh shit, talking nerd.
Look, I'm gonna
What'd you think?
I'm gonna be honest.
Or what? Who would you recommend this to?
I did not like the potty mouth in this movie.
Oh my god!
I fucking love the potty mouth in this movie. Oh, it was glorious, well crafted. This is a great. It's kind of like a very refreshing shot in the arm to the superhero genre, kind of what was needed for people who are starting to suffer fatigue. This, I agree with Anthony and Do-Right. This is a great date movie. It's got something for the women in that Ryan Reynolds. It's got something for the guys. So hardcore comic book fans will love the references coming at you, 100 Easter eggs. And like you said, Anthony, the casual fan is going to go in. And this is just like a return to good R-rated adult comedy. It's just a comedy action that happens to be about a superhero. So if I had time, I would see it again, and I want to take my wife, and I think she'd enjoy it.
I want to say a couple of things out the gate, though.
Okay, wait. I'm going to hit the spoiler disclaimer. So we're gonna get into spoilers. Here is your official spoiler disclaimer, people.
Strap yourselves in, you fucks. Spoiler time.
Okay, let's get into it.
I just want to say that this movie is getting accolades out the asshole. But it really owes a lot. I mean, even though it's original in its way, it owes a lot to a couple of other movies that came before it. Notably, Kick-Ass, I would say, because it was the first superhero comedy that was rated R. And there was other ones that came out. There was that Super.
Super,
that James Gunn directed.
Yeah.
And there was also, which was sick and had gore in it, out the asshole with Kevin Bacon and all kinds of shit. And then you got to also say 22 Jump Street, because that was a comedy that was aware of itself, mm-hmm. broke the fourth wall, and was completely an action slash comedy movie that had equal parts of both.
Good call.
That's good yeah. observations. I think Kick-Ass is actually a very underrated film, just because a lot of people haven't seen it in terms of money it made. But Do-Right mentioned this, and I want to tag on to it. It has all those influences of movies that Rugboy listed, but it's also extremely Deadpool. If you read any of the Deadpool comics, that is Deadpool. To love him or hate him, that is Deadpool at his finest. And it's Ryan Reynolds, like Rugboy mentioned, pushing for this movie to be made. Pushing for what, 6 or 7 years?
7 years. It's 7 years it took him to make this.
And he encapsulates the role perfectly. I mean, Deadpool's not my favorite character. I mean, he's kind of, I don't know, for me, it's just kind of annoying. But similar to how, what's his face? Robert Downey Jr. is Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds is Wade Wilson.
Do-Right, let me ask you this, because Deadpool, technically, he doesn't swear in the comic books. But his swearing in this movie enhanced the character of Deadpool. What do you think?
Well, I think you're absolutely correct, Aaron. What I liked about it is the back and forth between him and his girlfriend. They was popping off, you know, sly comments like crazy. I couldn't even keep up with it. I can't wait for it to come out on video just so I can slow the hell down, put on the captions, and find out what the hell he was saying, because it was coming so fast and people was laughing. It was like, this is the movie I've been waiting for. Oh, man, it was awesome. Also, something I wanted to add to it. On Friday, I heard Rugboy talking about how the fans kind of ruin the movie sometimes because all the things that they wanted. But when that CGI snippet of the first part of the movie came out and the fans loved it and everybody was talking about it, it was at Comic-Con and it made it to the movie and the opening intro and everything was part of it. Dude, they did this movie right. They did it right by the fans and people that didn't know shit about Deadpool. And I'm with y'all. I didn't really give a damn about Deadpool. I seen him in a couple of comics. I seen him on the cartoons and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, Deadpool. But I would have to admit, one, this is the best X-Men movie I ever seen. It was the best Colossus I've ever seen. It had the right amount of comedy, right amount of dialogue, and the right amount of non-bullshit.
Yeah, no, I agree. Look, you can thank that leak footage for really helping this movie get made. And rumor has it that it may have been Tim Miller or somebody close to him that actually got it out. But Rugboy, yeah, and Do-Right, that's a great segue because I wanted to talk about the opening. The opening credits are amazing. Rugboy, what did you think of that? You see a lot of Tim Miller's video game influence a little bit, this 3D pull-through opening credits that's full of Easter eggs and hilarious. I mean, what other movie would not put the actors and the talent's names and just mess with it in the beginning? And you start laughing right away. It sets the perfect tone right in the beginning.
The opening is actually like, that's what hooks you in. You know, it automatically says, hey, we're not taking ourselves seriously. We're making fun of ourselves in the credits. You know, we're doing all this shit to let you know this movie's not going to be serious. All right. We're going to sit back, relax, have some fun, you know, touch your pee-pee a little bit, and then enjoy. Enjoy what's going to happen, all right? Because this basically is. It's Ryan Reynolds just kind of jerking it for like to an hour and a half.
Some of the credit, my favorite credits was like starring God's Perfect Idiot, produced by Asshats.
Yeah.
And then written by the real heroes. And I love that because the writers never get credit. They gave themselves credit. Directed by some overpaid tool.
Oh, yeah.
So good. Anthony, what do you think of those opening credits?
I have to echo your guys' thoughts. I mean, it sets the tone for the movie. And again, it's very Deadpool. It's acknowledging that, you know, what everyone kind of thinks about these people and what they, you know, typical British villain, you know, all that stuff, the love interest, all that stuff is script stuff that they just put on the screen and just said, all right, let's just roll with that. And it's uniquely Deadpool.
Yeah.
Whether you like them or love them, it's uniquely Deadpool.
I mean, I think the movie has a really strong, like first 20 minutes in the sense that we get to see Deadpool right away. And Duray, what did you think of how they told his origin? Through, I thought it was very well done through the use of flashbacks and keeping the action kind of going, but you still get Deadpool right at the start.
That is what they should have did with every Spider-Man they ever put on.
Yes,
film.
Amen.
Also, it was awesome because you got the flashbacks. He knew about the flashbacks. He narrated, but he was talking to you like he was in the audience with you, and you wanted to say, Deadpool, shut the hell up. I'm trying to watch the movie. Because that's what I kept thinking, and I thought that was really refreshing because first thing they did, they made fun of all the movie cliches in the very beginning, and then they got straight into the movie, which is almost impossible for any superhero movie because they got to develop and bring in all kind of story and all this other shit when Deadpool is just like, okay, I'm sitting on the bridge. Here we go. Well, no, it started off in a cab, which I thought was even better. And that fun time watch, I was like, that's some good shit.
So many Easter eggs. Dopinder, I'm glad. Look, I've been yelling about having like an actual, well, he was a cab driver, but still, at least I think I saw a Packy in a big major movie now.
Is that a Packy name, Emre?
Dopinder is kind of like an Indian name, yeah.
Okay.
Dopinder.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an Indian.
Yay, Dopinder.
Yay, Dopinder.
Yay! That's not gay.
He was kind of the unsung hero, guys. I mean, he had to drive him. If it wasn't for Dopinder, they wouldn't have been able to get around.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Do you guys think this was the best use of the X-Men in a movie in a while? I love that, like, Colossus and Teenage Negasonic Warhead weren't, like, just side parts. They weren't supporting cast. They were almost main cast.
Yeah, they had a lot of screen time. And they got to do what they needed to do. They had the fastball special in there, you know, where he throws Deadpool. You know, that's a classic Colossus move. You know, and she had, like, the yellow and black, you know, X-Men trademark suit, you know, which is cool to see.
Yeah, and it shows that you can do this. You can have a yellow and black X-Men suit, and it's not going to look stupid. You don't have to put everybody in black leather like they do in the X-Men movies. Duray, you said you love Colossus. Now, to me, this was more of like an old school version of the original Colossus from like Giant Size X-Men 1 in 75, like the big bear, positive mentor, big brother type.
I like the thick Russian accent. That stole me. And then, you know how they had the bands of metal going across them? It reminded me of the 80s, or was it 90s? No, it was the 90s X-Men cartoon. Yeah. I love that. I love seeing Colossus on it. The only gripe I have about Colossus in here is that he didn't switch back to his human form and then go into the metal form. I think I would have liked to see that, but I guess they would have had to hire a real actor for that.
Plus, with a budget of $58 million estimated, this movie was only made for $58 million.
Right.
That's going to cut out a lot of CGI. Speaking of which, though, what do you guys think? I've seen a lot. Some people said that CGI in Colossus looked a little cartoony. I thought it worked. I thought it fit the universe of this movie.
Well, you know, it could have been better. Not like I hated it, but I mean, it could have been better. Like, it looked like video game shit, you know, something I would see on a PS4 or Xbox One, you know. Not quite the level that we're used to seeing in, like, big budget movies, but it's not really a big budget movie, so there you go.
It's definitely, like Rugboy said, I think the look of Colossus was great in theory, but it did look a little video game.
The character design was great. The way that they designed the character was great. It's just it needed to have that little more believability of realism.
You asked about how they depicted X-Men in the movie.
Yeah.
And I will say I liked Colossus. I don't know if it's the best use of X-Men because, you know, there weren't a ton of X-Men really. I think the X-Men movies could learn from the fact that this was fun and that the X-Men can be fun sometimes. The only thing I didn't like is I don't know if Colossus has always been such a square. I like the Russian accent.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's like necessarily super Russian Superman though, where he's like, oh, you know, a square. I guess they needed him to fill that role compared to Deadpool.
It's a good contrast. And like that is kind of old school Colossus when he was first introduced. So he was kind of like that.
I think his accent was a bit cartoony because, like, when you do a Russian accent, you can do it and downplay it a little bit.
Right, right.
And it was, like, full-on Dracula. Like, I expected it to be the Count Chocula.
He sounds like the Count from Sesame Street.
Yeah, he's like,
one X-Men.
Two Deadpools. Two. No, like, it was way too much.
Perhaps
you know?
A little bit over the top.
A little restraint.
But then you contrast that with Teenage Negasonic Warhead, who didn't really say much, but she had great snarky lines. And
I couldn't tell what her power was.
Well,
she just curled up in a ball and shit blew up.
And energy. She's so the original character in the comic books is kind of like she has similar powers to Cannonball from the X-Men. So she just fucking shoots out energy, I guess.
But not like Cannonball shot the energy out of his asshole. So she didn't do that.
I just thought he jumped into pools at the wrong moment.
Yeah.
Can I say something about the CGI of Colossus? So, you know, I would have to say this. Transformers had the biggest budget known to man to make a movie, and you couldn't see shit when those jokers start fighting on the screen. Now, I actually could see everything that was happening in this movie. To me, I give that an A+. It may have been dumbed down. It's not Spider-Man or X-Men, but damn, at least I could see shit.
No, I agree with you, but you got to understand that that's not the budget that's making it bad. That's Michael Bay being an asshole making it bad. Like, he has to have Optimus Prime have 1,000 pieces. Like, that's totally unnecessary, and it doesn't play good on screen. And everybody said that the first movie, and he kept doing it. Like, why would you still, like... He doesn't give a fuck about anybody's opinion. Like, everybody's saying, nobody could tell what's going on screen. So what does he do? Make even more badges. Anyway, we could talk about how shitty Transformers.
But speaking of the CGI, what do you think of the CGI of, like, on his mask with his eye expressions? I love that it was subtle, but it was really it really worked.
Oh, that was great. I have no problem with
that's
that.
That's how you're supposed to do Deadpool on screen.
I've always wished that they would do Spider-Man's eyes like that also.
If they do with Spider-Man's eyes like that, I mean, if they would have done it first, it would have been okay.
Now they can't do it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why they can't do it like that, because Deadpool, at the end of the day, you're not taking Deadpool seriously.
Yeah, he's Bugs Bunny.
Yeah,
exactly. But Spider-Man, although jokey, has a very serious undertone to it. That you could, if you did it like that, it'd become a cartoon on screen.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. It works on the page.
Maybe even on cartoon, doesn't work in real action when it's a character that you have to take seriously. Deadpool, you could never take seriously.
Yeah, I mean the way this movie is made from passion. I loved Ryan Reynolds' comedic timing. It reminded me of old school comics like Don Rickles or Bill Murray, like dry comedy. Durite, what did you, will you watch this movie again to catch all the funny one-liners?
Oh yeah, it's going to happen. I'm going to watch all those one-liners. I like the eyebrows. I didn't understand why his eyes was white. They never explained it, but what I found out is they never explained it in the comics. And I think they were going for that cartoony look, and it made you feel kind of nostalgic, you know, thinking back to the old school cartoons and everything. Or if you see any Deadpool cartoon, he always had the eyebrows and the expressions and stuff, and it felt like it was supposed to be there, and I really enjoyed that.
Well, to explain that to do right, the reason why he has white eyes is because Rob Liefeld literally just ripped off Spider-Man.
Yeah,
and he's like, I want to make Spider-Man with guns. So of course Liefeld's too lazy to draw webbing, so he just took the webbing off, and there it is. Put some guns on him, and they got Deadpool. Right.
Actually, as Liefeld tells the story, I believe he brought this character to Fabian Nicieza, the writer, and Fabian goes, dude, this is just Deathstroke. And so that's why Deathstroke is Slade Wilson, and they just named him Wade Wilson, and then mushed Spider-Man into it, and now he's got white eyes for no reason, just because.
There you go.
Anthony, what about some Easter eggs? This movie is loaded with over 100 Easter eggs. You got any favorites that are memorable that stick out?
Man, I mean, the obvious ones, the shots at Green Lantern.
Yeah.
There's two of them that I saw. The one in the credits where he's wearing a green suit and like in a wallet sort of picture.
Yeah, he has a trading card. Like the guy has a trading card of Green Lantern in his wallet.
And then the Don't Make Me Green.
Yeah.
I mean, there were so many, like, literally, there were so many Easter eggs. Not only Easter eggs, but so many jokes. Rob Liefeld, by the way, was in the movie.
I did. You know what? I saw that, and I missed that cameo. Yeah. Was it right in the beginning, in that bar scene?
I believe it was in the bar, but I couldn't pick out Rob Liefeld if he was wearing a shirt that said, I am Rob Liefeld, in a crowd. So read it after.
I thought he's the one that says, fuck Liefeld, in the background.
He might say that, too.
Rugboy, yeah. What were some of your favorite Easter
eggs? Oh, I like the action figure that he had.
Of the
from when he was a shitty Deadpool from X-Men Origins.
Yeah.
He's like, and he goes, this is my prized possession. And then you think he's reaching for that, and then it's something else that he's reaching for.
They just constantly digs at everything. That was great. Durang, what about you? You remember any?
Oh, man, I went through that whole website that you said of all 100 of them, and oh, my God, I didn't realize it was so many. But I caught, like, 98 of them. I guess my favorite one, if any, is just the recreation of that CGI leaked footage in the very beginning of the movie.
Yeah, right.
Just paying homage to the fans and thanking them for getting the movie on the screen. I mean, because they did it almost scene by scene, and it was perfect.
Scene by scene and almost line for line with this.
And it was, you know, and that probably, look, it might help you save some money. You got the animatics done. You got this done. You just got to add a little more production and get it out there. I loved the fight with Deadpool and Colossus. That was kind of like an homage to the Holy Grail, where he just kept hurting his hand and falling over. It's like, it's just a flesh wound. I'll be okay. And he keeps getting up and...
Oh, that was an Easter egg? I just took that as an extremely just funny scene with him breaking all of his limbs.
It's totally a nod to Monty Python holding.
In a way, yeah.
Yeah, because there's a similar scene where the guy gets his arm chopped off and he's like, it's just a flesh wound. I love that we got to see, this is such an obscure one, I'm such a nerd, Deadpool's friend Hydra Bob. Which is
technically,
they snuck him in because, like, they can't call him Hydra because that's like a Marvel Studios thing. But he was that one bad guy at the end. It was like, Bob? He's like, Wade? And he let him go. He didn't kill him.
Yeah.
Hydra Bob's great. I want to find this Deadpool rap. Was that from the video game, apparently?
Yeah, from the Deadpool video game.
I love that. I love DMX. X gonna give it to you. Like, what a perfect song to play in that moment.
Yeah. What about, like, at the bar where they had the Deadpool?
Oh, yeah, that was great.
And then, and also that he had, and the names, there's a bunch of names thrown up in there.
All the creators' names are up there.
Yeah. On the street signs from when the first opening of the movie, there was creator names on that shit.
There's a Parker Boulevard as a nod to Spider-Man. There's a couple of Spider-Man Easter eggs.
Was there like a list of women too that he had or something?
Oh, I don't remember that.
That was just a Deadpool.
Dude, what about Stanley's cameo at the strip club? That's the best, dirtiest cameo ever that Stan's had.
That all works. Those were all good. I mean, there were literally so many. I can equate to that. The Easter eggs and the jokes, there were so many. Yeah. Like, it was almost overwhelming.
I want to mention one more at the end.
Okay.
Because at the end of the movie, he does the Ferris Bueller.
Mm. Yeah.
Are you still here?
Yeah.
And if you don't, if a lot of people, like these kids, they have no idea that that's from Ferris Bueller.
Nope.
They just thought it was funny on its own.
Yep.
But if you know, if you've ever watched Ferris Bueller till the end, Ferris Bueller does that shit before Marvel did it.
Yeah.
Know, before anybody did it. After the credits, he comes on and goes, what the fuck? You guys are still here?
Yeah.
That exact thing.
Ferris Bueller actually the pioneer for Deadpool and the movie credits after?
Absolutely.
He's the one that broke the fourth wall.
Ferris Bueller broke the... Dude, Deadpool is like... Maybe Deadpool is Ferris Bueller growing up. That's the same thing. It's like an R-rated Ferris Bueller. Because he did. He broke the fourth wall. It was the first post-credits scene. And then we also find out in Deadpool 2, Cable is coming, which is awesome. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Durite, let me ask you this. Is this movie proof that you don't need a bigger budget to make a successful comic book film?
You know, I don't want to say that. I think that you have to have people on the team that love what they do and love the subject that they working on to get that film. And I think, I mean, it's easy to say that, okay, they put out a great film and it didn't cost that much money. But just imagine if, like we were talking about earlier with Transformers, if you didn't have Michael Bay and you had somebody that really loved the story and really wanted to bring it to life true to form, because that's the big thing about this movie. Everybody loved it enough to bring it to the screen the way it was. And I think Transformers could have been like that if we had the right motherfucker at the helm. So I want to say that, and because I think if they had a big budget, just imagine – Rugboy would have got the graphics he wanted, and plus we probably got a whole lot more.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you could see that the budget being low affected the finale of the movie, because that opening scene was so much more dynamic than the closing scene.
Yeah, they spent more money on the front end, probably.
I'll agree and disagree with that. I'll agree in that when you put restrictions on anything that with someone, a lot of creative people, when you put restrictions on creative people, I think they get even more creative.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, and I'm not hating on you, Imran, personally, but this question is what the movie industry is going to, you know, look at. Yeah. Like they're going to try to draw broad conclusions about the movie industry as a whole just by this movie. And I don't think you can point to it being the budget being small or him cursing or him breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah.
These are all things that are uniquely Deadpool
yeah.
that may not be able to be applied to another superhero film or another movie in general. So I don't think, I think that's where Hollywood is going to screw up, is they're going to draw broad conclusions about a movie that is uniquely its own movie.
Absolutely.
Well, one of the things that I want to point out here is that there have been like send ups of like comic book movies. You know, they've made like their, there was a scary movie that was like,
oh, yeah.
that was with superheroes in it, and there was Blank Man and whatever, like all these fucking stupid superhero send-ups. And this one works because it, even though it's a parody in a way, it's like because it's aware of itself and it's pointing out all these cliches and all this stuff. It's also a pretty good action movie.
Yeah,
the action scenes are earnest. All right, and the comedy is they handled it perfectly because Deadpool is the only one truly trying to be funny, and he's the crazy one. So everything else in the universe is kind of being played straight.
Yeah.
And he's the X factor that's weird. So it's unique in the way all these things coalesce to make something entertaining. And you have not only that, but you have an established character that is already been doing this in the comics without the swearing. So the only thing they really added is the tits and the swearing. And the ass crack.
That's the best part.
I think you can see Ryan Reynolds' nutsack in one point.
Oh, yeah. He tickled some Wolverine balls. No, look, the amazing, the genius thing they did was that the low budgets gave him a low stake, and they were able to put it in the universe without really interfering with the universe. You know, it's not going to be a big send up. And now, despite the budget's low, we saw a helicarrier again, another
kind
Easter
of,
egg,
yeah.
sort of a destroyed yeah. helicarrier. So it was very smart how they placed this within the universe.
It also makes it a really tough movie to like review.
Yeah.
Because it's a comedy. And you have to throw so much shit out the window that you would nail a regular movie for.
Absolutely. You can't be. You have to let some things go because primarily, look, this is a comedy. This is just a comedy that happens to have some action, that happens to have guys in suits. But for me, I'm sitting there and I'm watching dudes dressed up as superheroes swearing at each other. Like the most glorious thing is when Deadpool's just like, Colossus, don't fuck this up for me. And I'm like, this is amazing. This is great. Where has this been my whole life? It's just what I wanted right now. It is. It's the movie I wanted to see.
I mean, we've seen Jessica Jones say the F word all over the place. You know, it's not
it's
like
different when you're in suits, in brightly colored suits and CGI metal, and there's swearing going on when it's clearly not grounded in reality. You know?
Do you think, and do right can jump into, do you think this movie was just right place, right time because it's something we honestly haven't seen in this genre before? And do you think this is just right place, right time, or do you think this movie was actually good? And I would say you could start with that.
Well, I tell you what, if it wasn't for all the other comic book movies to come out before it, X-Men, Avengers, and all of that, we would never even had Deadpool. It is the right place, right time. And I think with the success of Ant-Man, that helped this movie come out too, because the Ant-Man had the right amount of comedy in it, and it kind of, even though Deadpool was already in production, I'm aware of that, but just the success from Ant-Man and the comedy that it had, I think, and the success that it had, that people were ready for something like that. Yeah, it's fine to go to a comic book movie and a series and stuff like that, The Dark Knight and stuff like that, but we've seen that. Now it's time to see the other side and have some fun with it.
I think you can also point to Guardians being an influence on this, because although a space movie, I could totally see Rocket Raccoon having the potty mouth. He basically does have the potty mouth.
Yeah, he swears.
That Deadpool
to swear
has,
so badly.
Except he just doesn't swear.
He wants to so badly. You could see it in his little raccoon eyes. Could,
I think Guardians and Ant-Man are big catalysts. Pushing the audience into a movie like this.
I mean, I think it may have been a blessing that he had trouble for 11 years. making this movie, because this is exactly the time it would, I think it would, clearly it was going to profit the most at this, with everything falling into place like it did.
Well, it's the director's vision too, because this could have been a really shitty movie. I mean, think about how many ways it could have gone wrong.
Well, let's talk about the director, dude. Tim Miller, first-time director. This is the biggest opening debut for a first-time director. This guy did not Josh Trank this movie. It was just unbelievable, like pulling from his video game sensibilities, and the pacing is good. What did you think of the direction, Ruggs?
Well, Tim Miller, you know, he comes from Blur Studios, and we talked about this a little bit on the Blab that you know, he did that DC Online, the DC Universe Online trailer with like Superman and Wonder Woman and Batman all fighting in this like kind of dark universe, you know, and people love that shit. And so he's very familiar with this kind of stuff. And in fact, I think it was his vision on that video game trailer that is what's behind the Batman versus Superman, the whole idea of that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And so this guy, obviously, even though he's a beginner in the Hollywood sense,
yeah,
he knows his shit. I mean, yeah. Look, as I said, I wanted to hate this movie, and he won me over. Now, is it my favorite movie of all time? No, but I was like, I got to get my hats off to him. You know, he really pulled it off. This could have been a disaster on a huge level. So him and Ryan Reynolds teaming up and really loving this, because he loves comics. All right,
yeah.
This guy.
Yeah.
He's a nerd. He's a video game guy. He even submitted to Marvel Iron Man, Spider-Man, and Hulk in like little movies.
Oh, wow.
To try and campaign to get a job at Marvel.
Yeah.
Making movies.
Yeah, no, I think you got to credit Tim Miller, Ryan Reynolds, and the screenwriters, Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick. The combination of those four people nailed this tone of this movie.
Did you ever see that short that he made with Hulk, Iron Man, and Spider-Man?
No, I will have to look that up.
You can look it up. I think it was on IO9 or something. But he was campaigning to work on Iron Man. Right?
Yeah.
Before Robert Downey Jr. made Iron Man, he submitted these shorts, like 2-minute long shorts. There are three of them. You put them all together, you got 6 minutes or something, or maybe more than that. But it's to introduce Iron Man to fans. So it's all about like Spider-Man needing Iron Man's help to bring down like these giant robots that are attacking the city. And then finally, at the very end, Hulk comes and fucking... So
I know I remember reading about this now, and it gave him more confidence to go forward with the Iron Man movie.
Absolutely. Like
it was the proof of concept, and they really liked it. So he kind of launched Marvel Studios Phase One a little bit.
So I can't wait to see what Tim Miller does next. I don't want him to keep making Deadpool movies, though. I think he's probably on the level of the Russo brothers.
Absolutely. Currently listed, that's his next movie. It says Deadpool 2 is okay. What he's working on.
I will say he obviously, I don't know how much if it's him, the writers, or Ryan Reynolds, but he obviously understood the character very well. As far as the plot, it was okay. He didn't write the plot, so I have to look at his direction. I thought some of the cuts between the past and current life with Deadpool now were a bit jarring. I thought it could have been a little bit more creatively done to help cut between, you know, scenes that between the past and now that had a little bit more of a connection. I felt it was a little jarring in that sense. So for me, although different with the origin story, telling it throughout the film, I thought it wasn't smooth in my opinion. So I have to fault him a little for that, because that's clearly direction.
I disagree though. For as complicated as that opening thing that they were trying to get done with going back and forth, and to have a fourth wall break within a fourth wall break where he's like, that's like 16 walls. I thought it flowed. You were able to follow it pretty good for the crazy ambitious kind of storytelling.
Were you able to follow it really good because you had Deadpool narrating it? Like
that
didn't
help.
It wasn't because he cut between like a shot of, you know, a hole in Deadpool and then a hole in the past with like a bullet or something, you know, something creative like that.
Okay.
You know, he didn't tie the cut scenes together.
The transitions were a little jarring.
A little bit jarring.
I'm actually on board with Anthony on that. But I mean, that's not what that irked me in the movie. There was just other things that irked me. But other than that, I mean, there were some jarring cuts.
So what I was saying is exactly what Anthony was saying. I don't really see what he did, and I would like to see like the director's cut and the DVD behind the scenes so I can see what he actually inputted. With the performance with Ryan Reynolds, I seen a lot of that performance trying to come out in Wolverine Origins, and you could tell he wanted to act like that, but there was some big wig in the back saying, "Don't you do it, or else," you know, and he was holding back, and he was finally let loose, and I just feel like most of that character was Ryan Reynolds, so I want to see what he actually did, kind of like, I forgot the director's name, but if you remember Battleship, you know, I saw the behind the scenes, and I had much more respect for the director because I saw what he was doing.
That's Peter Berg. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, I love that dude. I love him because he just took stuff from the Navy, straight from the Navy, put it on screen. I was sitting in the theater like a little schoolgirl. It was awesome.
Ryan Reynolds did say about that first movie that he felt kind of blackmailed into doing it. They're like, you want to do Deadpool, you do this Deadpool first. And he's like, okay. And then it just went all fucking hinky, you know.
I mean, you could point to, and I think we'll get to this later, but I think a lot of the issues with that Wolverine movie and especially the Deadpool portrayal was because Hollywood was, this was coming off The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
So everyone in Hollywood was trying to make things extremely dark.
Yeah.
And Wolverine was one of the first movies after that was trying to go for that feel and obviously failed.
All right. Yeah. No, look, so before we get into maybe what we didn't like about Deadpool, I want to say one last thing I loved, which was the point at the end where it's this Deadpool is a hero that doesn't learn anything. He's got the villain there, and Colossus has given him the big hero speech going, you have everybody has 4 or 5 moments to prove these. And before he can finish, Deadpool just goes, bam, then fucking shoots the guy. He goes, yeah, I'll keep an eye out for these moments. I was so glad because I was like, oh, no, they're not going to, like, let the guy go and just capture him. But he did what everybody wanted him to do at that moment in the theater. It was great.
You know that moment at 4 or 5 moments?
Yeah.
Be a hero? You know that was a reference to all the superheroes that Ryan Reynolds played?
Yeah, that could kind of be an Easter egg saying he 4 or 5 attempts at getting a superhero franchise off the ground before he finally makes it. Ruggs, what were you going to say?
I said, I thought you were going to, when you wanted to mention one last thing that you liked, I thought you were going to mention Morena's Baccarins.
Oh, she was great. She's great in this movie. I wish they gave her a little bit more to do. But, man, just her characterization and how she was all in and just as dirty as Ryan Reynolds could keep up with Wade Wilson's character. That was awesome.
I thought that was actually strangely female empowering, too.
Because
they don't even, like, they don't call her a whore. She's just a nymph that likes to fucking have sex.
No, she says she's whatever. A prostitute. She's a prostitute.
Yeah, she doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
And she can hang with Ryan Reynolds.
And what a way to show their relationship progress through sex flashbacks. Like, it was, that whole sex montage was amazing. And I'll tell you what Tim Miller did do. I heard this somewhere. He got to pick the dildo that Miranda Baccarin used in that one scene. I think it was for Women's Day. And Wade was getting rammed up the asshole with a dildo. She had a strap on, and Miller said he picked the Black Mamba.
As true to form as it can be.
Black Mamba, it looks great on screen. Let me tell you what, it photographs very well.
That is something you would look up, Imran.
the Black Mamba.
What dildo were they using in this movie?
It's very important to know. I want that model. Okay, look.
I wish I could hear me laughing right now.
Yeah, for the listener, we've got Mr. Durite muting his mic when he is not talking because there would be a ton of airplane noise if he was mic'd the full time.
Yeah, it sounds like there's too much road noise. Okay, so let's get to the nitpicky part, because this part can be kind of fun. Look, I'm just going to start with this. The movie, despite the fact that movie had a very straightforward story, it wasn't very complicated. The villain was a little thin, but the thing is, that was just a vehicle for this character. So this is a character-driven movie, and that's why I think it was smart to keep it kind of straightforward. The villain was it was a little annoying because you didn't understand why he was bad for no reason. Ed Skrein playing Ajax Francis.
I'm gonna go along with that. I like that his name was Francis,
and he spells it out with
Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah,
you know, Francis is the bad guy in Pee Wee Herman's Big Adventure. So he's also another evil Francis. They wish they could have tied him together, like put that jumpsuit on him or something. But the villain, I always thought there should be a guy behind him. Like he didn't seem like he seemed like a lunky or like a goon. Like he wasn't like the main big bad. I would have liked to have that little like surprise. Oh, there's another guy behind this guy, and da, 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 da. Like, and he's really the bad guy. He was he does karate. He does experiments on people.
He's a scientist. He's a kung fu guy.
Like, yeah. It's just too many things. It's just like, you know, it was weird.
And the other girl didn't really do much. Do-Right, what do you think of the villains?
Well, I didn't too much care for him. You know, it would have been nice to see him wear a costume. I seen the actual Ajax character from the comics, and he was all dressed up and had all kind of shit on. And I would have liked him to have had that. Instead of just being French, was he French? He was French or Italian.
British.
Yeah, stupid British. And I'm tired of British villains. You know, why can't they be American? There's enough assholes in America to get a villain than to go overseas and get one. I agree with you. He had too many abilities. I'm like, this dude's kicking ass. He don't feel pain. You know, he just gets stabbed in the shoulder. It's like, oh, no big deal. Like, motherfucker, what? I wanted it a little bit more, and I think the biggest thing that really drove me nuts, it was all the cannon fodder of all the little bad guys that he was fighting. They were nobody. You know? They were nobody. And the only one that could actually do something, which was old girl, all she did was fought Colossus, but she did get a good nut check on him. Oh, yeah. I will give her that.
Yeah. I wanted to see Gina Carano's boob. Like, why did we not get to see it? Why did only Colossus get to see it? I wanted to see it.
They didn't have enough money in the budget for that. You know they had a small budget.
Like, you just see the top of her boob. You didn't see the whole thing. if you're going to talk about a boob in an R-rated movie, let's see that thing. Whip it out.
That is a great nitpick.
It's a nitpick.
We didn't get a nitpick, actually. Nitpick.
It's a nitpick.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it my turn?
Yeah, well, Anthony, what bothered you about Deadpool?
I mean, the plot's just, it's nothing. There's nothing there. It's straight character. I think the biggest thing was two things. Number one, I thought the movie, to quote what Deadpool would probably say, blew its load in the first act in terms of action. Mm-hmm. Like, there was no better action than in that first act.
Yeah,
it kind of went downhill from there in terms of action scenes. Second, with Deadpool, he has like the swords, and he's kind of like a karate sort of guy too, and has like creative gun work. I felt like the action scenes were a little bit too CGI. I felt like you could have done some real like crazy wire work or some real like karate kung fu moves in there, because that's Deadpool's kind of, he has the two katanas. You can do some crazy shit. You don't need to, it doesn't need to be him like flipping around like an acrobat all the time. You could do some on-screen stuff.
Some slicing and dicing right
that
there.
Practical stuff.
Oh, I mean, you could put any, you know, you could put, me being fucking racist here, but you could put any Chinese asshole in that suit. You wouldn't know it was a fucking kung fu master.
Yeah.
Doing some practical shit on screen.
Yeah, his powers were kind of weird too. Like he could survive like a drop from way up high. Like, is that, what is that? How's that possible?
Oh, Deadpool?
Yeah.
Oh,
the baby hand
anything.
Was awesome though. Remember the baby hand was
awesome.
That he wanted to jerk it.
Yeah,
because he would feel big in his baby hand.
The baby hand was so creepy, and I was like, what is that? Blind Al was also a great character.
One of my big nitpicks.
Yeah.
Is that. It could be budgetary, you know, it could be writers or whatever, but of course they try to explain it away and joke it away in the movie. But fucking Colossus and Negasonic Teenager are just fucking sitting around eating cereal.
Yeah, that's...
And then they look at the news and go, hey, let's go get that guy. Like, that makes no sense whatsoever.
They couldn't afford any more X-Men.
Like, hey, Deadpool, let's go get him. Like, why are they getting him? Like, they didn't even consult anybody. They just like, yeah, we're going to go out for the day and get into an adventure. Like,
well,
I don't know.
Look, to that point, I was like,
and everything.
Yeah, you see the Blackbird, you see Xavier's school for gifted younger. She makes a remark about, or he makes a remark about, isn't this place blow up every so often? Alluding to like, it might blow up in X-Men Apocalypse. But I didn't understand how much time he was Deadpool. Like, how did they know? Like, he's obviously already talked to the X-Men. They're aware of him. He doesn't want to join them. How much time has he been Deadpool? It was kind of unclear. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's also very unclear. That how much time has passed. Izzy is weird. I also didn't like the whole thing about him getting the powers.
What? What do you mean? It's the Weapon X program.
That wasn't the Weapon X program. Yeah, that was some other bullshit.
Yeah, they were making them slaves. It was weird.
However, you do see the girl with the spikes coming out of her. She's a character named Marrow. Originally in the comic books, for the listener who doesn't know, Rob Liefeld went to ask them. He goes, wait, Wolverine's Weapon X 10, right? Have we seen a Weapon 1 through 9 yet? And they go, no. He goes, okay, Deadpool's going to be Weapon 9 because they haven't got it all perfected yet. And now he's Weapon 9 program is kind of how he backs wrote it into the story.
Was Brian Cox in there at all?
No.
In a flashback or anything?
Nothing.
No, that was some other movie.
Well, that was the Wolverine Origins movie, yeah. But I think the way they were able to get away with not acknowledging that movie is because of Days of Future Past, they wiped out all the continuity, and now they started fresh from the whatever that movie was, the 70s.
I just wanted to say Brian Cox.
I know you wanted to say Brian.
Fair enough.
His middle deck name is gonna get my.
Do right. Do you have any other nitpicks or anything you didn't like?
I didn't like that the movie was so short because it felt like it was so much banter that they left out some of the movie. I would have enjoyed a little bit more, especially that end part. I think y'all mentioned it a lot, and it was nice to see him on the helicarrier. What's wrong with me? Helicarrier. And I would have liked to see more of that. The end was kind of a fizzle, and I would have liked to see more.
I think that's a great analogy. I think it started off like where you light a firework, and the firework explodes, and then you light another one and fizzles out.
It did definitely leave you wanting more. Like you just wanted it to go on.
You wanted.
Where
I think
do you think
it
they
to
can go
stronger.
With this?
Well, we've heard about Cable. Maybe Deadpool and Cable will time travel. Maybe he does join the X-Men.
So do you think it's going to be like Cable is going to be the straight man and Deadpool is going to be the comic relief?
It might be like a Deadpool Colossus. It'll be just be Deadpool and Cable.
I don't know if they're going to do like superhero parody films, but those things don't have a great shelf life, in my opinion. If you look at comedies and then you look at Harold and Kumar or something stupid like that, like they run out of shit real quick. Like eventually there has to be a real plot. So I think maybe if you threw Deadpool as like had him in cameos in X-Men films, I think that'd actually be the best bet.
Yeah, they blew their load on making every single dirty joke they could.
Yeah,
right.
Like, how are they going to go back?
Well, there's plenty of source material, and clearly they've embraced the source material. There's a whole series called Cable and Deadpool that they can pull a story from. But I would love to see the character of Deadpool in a PG-13 movie, and he tries to swear. And it bleeps out.
Beeped.
Yeah, and then it surprises him. He goes, and he keeps trying, and he gets really frustrated because every time he tries to swear, it beeps. Like, that would be hilarious.
I think there's a YouTube video called The Waiting Room. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it's guys dressed as Marvel characters, like just sitting in a waiting room. So they often have, like, Deadpool, Spider-Man, Ant-Man, or whatever.
Yeah.
And what I'd want to see is him breaking the fourth wall, talking to the camera, and everyone looking at him. They do this in that YouTube video.
Oh, like they're like, who are you talking to?
Who the fuck are you talking to? Stop doing that.
That's great. Listener,
like acknowledging that it's weird.
I will find all these videos. Everything, again, we talk about will be in the show notes, jockandnerd.com/Deadpool.
So what I would like to see, and just bear with me, I know y'all going to hate it, so that's fine, but wouldn't it be great Fox finally stops being stupid, works with Marvel Studios, and the way they link the X-Men to the Marvel Universe is through Deadpool.
Ooh, would that ever happen?
Long shot, but yeah, that'd be awesome if you saw Deadpool on there with like Tony Stark or something like that.
I think Fox, though, seeing the success of this, is not going to let anybody mess with it now.
Do you think that Marvel was just like, fuck, when this movie came out?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Because they sold the rights to the X-Men to Fox so long ago that every time, I mean, this has become the, like we said, the highest grossing X-Men movie ever. They're kicking
already
in the short a little over a week and a half or whatever. It hasn't been out long, not even a month, but they got to be kicking themselves.
Now I raise you one.
Yeah.
Does this affect Rob Liefeld in any way?
Oh, it's going to give him
get him more work.
I've already seen him on lots of podcasts. He's getting out there. People are talking to him. I don't know.
What's unique about Rob
yeah.
is like all these famous characters that with the creators like Spider-Man, Batman, Superman, all these ones, all the creators are fucking dead.
Yeah.
Rob Liefeld's now. Deadpool's a relatively new character. Rob Liefeld's still alive. So I think Rob Liefeld, unfortunately, maybe, is going to get a spike in some popularity and work.
It should be. I think he's
all right. Just everyone who just Google Rob Liefeld's worst drawings. If you want to laugh, and trust me, the motherfucker doesn't know anatomy at all. All right, just look at these drawings.
But look, despite what you think of his drawings, what the man did bring when he was in his early 20s is this energy and this vibrancy to comic book art that it needed in the 90s.
Doesn't he write too?
Well, yeah, that, but poorly. That I have a yeah. That's my other issue with when Image started is that artists aren't always the best writers, but they seem to think they are. But it doesn't, like, you never see a writer going, I'm going to draw this too. Like, maybe like Frank Miller. But
no, I mean, that's not, I don't think that that's true. I think that an artist can write if it's his character and everything like that.
Yeah.
But no, but if you're on par with like the greats at Marvel, they already have the best writers. Yeah. Like, you know, come on, you know, it's not going to work. Like, if you're writing a Marvel book and you're an artist and you're not in, if you're doing an independent thing, it's okay. You know, there's just no point in trying to write if there's already great writers at Marvel that are way better than you.
Rob's going to get a lot of work and a lot of attention, that's for sure. And he's got a little he's going to get this franchise on his hands. I think another lesson that Hollywood studios can learn is look at this marketing campaign.
Are we into lessons now?
No, this is still what this has mean for like the movies moving. What does this mean for the superhero genre moving forward?
Okay.
You know?
All right. They
need to look at this amazing viral marketing campaign that I don't think has ever been done before in this way to this extent.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. But again, this is not something that can be replicated with a lot of characters.
With just anybody.
This is Deadpool.
Yeah.
This is uniquely Deadpool. And you're going to see, I think you're going to ask the question, or if you've maybe already kind of implied it, that what's Hollywood, what does this mean for the genre?
Yeah.
And I think James Gunn already brought up, you know, how Hollywood copies things. And I have great examples of this. I mean, when X-Men first came out, then everyone started making superhero films, when Blade or whatever. Then when Dark Knight came out, everyone started making movies that were dark. Then now when Guardians comes out, everyone, you look at the trailer for Suicide Squad and you're like, how is that not the same fucking thing as Guardians put out in their trailer? You know, using an old song. So it's a copycat society. So we're going to see more copycat films, but I keep saying this, you can't replicate these character qualities, these movie qualities onto just any old character. This is uniquely Deadpool.
Yeah.
I think that DC is going to try and answer with,
fuck yeah, they are.
With Lobo or some other fucking character that talks to the camera. Bugs Bunny is going to come out with a movie where he kicks everybody's ass.
Right. What do you think about, like, rumors are that Wolverine 3 now wants to be rated R. Todd McFarlane wants to make a new Spawn rated R horror movie. Do you think we're going to see these copycats?
Well, of course we're going to see them. But to acknowledge one thing first, one thing they need to do is make the trailers not tell the damn story. I think Captain America is doing it right. I think Batman is doing it wrong. And Deadpool did it right because you didn't know what the hell was going to be in Deadpool except for maybe the scene from the leaked footage, and that was it. You didn't know what you was going to see. Right. You didn't know who was going to be in it, and it was awesome, and it was a surprise when you saw it, and it's refreshing to see that where Hollywood gives away the entire movie.
Yeah.
So let that be a trend. I hope they pick up on that shit. Now, as far as copying this, yeah, you know, when Rugboy first said that Friday about Lobo, I was like, oh my God, that's what's going to happen. Or it's going to be, they're going to try to do the Flash movie and they're going to change him up so he's breaking the fourth wall and trying to be funny all the damn time because he's got a quick wit. I don't want to, no, don't do that. I think that's a mistake. Keep finding good comic book movies and try to be unique with them. That should be the trend. We don't need to keep seeing the same thing. I don't want to see another Watchmen. Because that's what's going to happen when you start getting dark and mysterious. And we're going to get into a bunch of stupid stuff behind this movie. And then here's the thing that's going to really irk the shit out of me. They're going to keep making more X-Men movies. And I'm not going to lie to you. I don't like the X-Men movie. This is the only X-Men movie I actually liked. I hate X-Men movies because they fuck them up. They, even the new one, that Days of Future Past, to me, they fucked it up. Wolverine goes back into the past because of Shadow Cat? What the fuck? So I don't want to see that. And I wish Fox would fall off the property so Marvel could get it back and actually do it right. I hope they give up Fantastic Four so Marvel can get it back and put it in a safe somewhere and drop it in the water with Wolverine.
Yeah.
I would also say I think the things that Hollywood should take from this are, number one, it's obvious that the character, not only the writers, but even the actor, uniquely understood this character.
Yeah.
So you need to at least, if you're going to make a comic book adaptation or any sort of adaptation of, you have to understand every single part of this character to make it work. Second, I think Fox should learn, and hopefully they do, is that there are more characters in the X-Men universe that are cool than just Wolverine and just Magneto. So hopefully by throwing Deadpool on there, they'll kind of embrace the fact that, no pun intended, but the X-Men in general are a colorful bunch.
Very colorful.
There's more. There's tons of different personalities, and yet all they've done in all these X-Men films is spotlight Wolverine and put all these characters in black.
And that's to your point. That's what I think Hollywood should learn is that the X-Men can be fun. This is fun. Everything doesn't need to be dark and gritty. There's some like Chris Claremont's X-Men run. It's like a fun family, almost like a great soap opera dynamic. They need to pull from that. And, you know, we have an aging Hugh Jackman who's not going to be Wolverine forever. This is a way for you to make it big with another mutant that you can make your own. Like maybe Gambit, like maybe Channing Tatum is going to be really into Gambit and reads every Gambit comic book. And like Gambit, I could see having a low budget and being R-rated and kind of work also.
I don't know. I don't think that Gambit has a prayer at all. I don't think so.
Tatum's the one, unless
Channing Tatum's is walking around without a shirt and he's in like great shape. That's, you know, get some chicks to go see that.
I believe he's into it. I believe Channing is like pushing.
He's the one that's pushing for it. I will say that Channing Tatum, off the bat, isn't the person I would have thought of as Gambit. Like Ryan Reynolds, you immediately are like, that's Gambit. I mean, that's Deadpool.
Yeah.
So it's a little different. I see it might fall into that trap of copying Deadpool and being weird.
Well, talking about copying Deadpool, what do you think? Like, okay, what do you think all these fucking Hollywood suits are going? All right, comb the comic book store and find me another Deadpool. Like, okay, we mentioned Lobo, but what else? The Tick, what else? What else are they going to grab? What are they else they going to grab?
You know, Spawn comedic?
No, Spawn. McFarlane wants to do like a
Savage
horror
Dragon?
Movie. Eric Larson's Savage Dragon could work really well.
That was a parody of superheroes.
Could you see maybe, I mean, they already teased it with Guardians, but could you see a Howard the Duck?
Like a raunchy Howard the Duck.
I would say Savage Dragon would be prime because, number one, everybody loves the Hulk, and that's basically what Savage Dragon
is. Hulk ripoff,
And you got all of these ridiculous-looking characters, kind of like Kick-Ass, like where like their suits are ridiculous, and they're all like archetypes from other comic books that are redone Eric Larson style, but Eric Larson's a dick. And so this is my theory. Rob Layfield's a dick, and now his character is the biggest movie. So that you go to the next biggest dick.
The next biggest dick is only because dicks can be successful in Hollywood. Yeah. That's how Hollywood works.
Follow the asshole. Follow the smelly asshole, and then that's the next big hit.
So, I got another one, too.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Thank me in advance, Hollywood, when Savage Dragon makes $300 million on Valentine's.
You want to follow the money? Follow the asshole, Hollywood. That's a tip. No.
Follow the dick.
That's
I feel like another one that could be possible. We mentioned Lobo, but the one that's been teased for a while that could go in this direction is Booster Gold.
Oh,
Booster Gold.
Gold is silly as fuck, dude. He's a character from the future that looked at past superheroes and named himself Booster Gold.
That's a good point.
And he time travels.
Like, I would say Scott Pilgrim, but they made the movie already.
They already did that, yeah. Man, I can't think of any others that I'd want. I just love to see superheroes swear.
Do right.
Oh, no, I'm just going to say no to Spawn already. No more of that. And no to Howard the Duck. Fuck that.
I agree.
Not saying I wanted to see it. I'm just saying I'm trying to predict what Hollywood would say.
They have one called Bomb Queen from Image. And That's a hard R rating.
I mean, I think it would behoove these guys to look at a lot of these new books that have come out from Image in the last couple of years. There's some, because Image now really isn't a superhero comic book company anymore, but they do really awesome, mature stuff. Like, Anthony, you haven't read Sex Criminals, but that could make a great movie.
You know what this movie kind of reminded me of when I'm thinking of like old superhero movies that were kind of silly?
Yeah.
Two of my favorites as a child, maybe they don't hold up at all today, were Blank Man and Meteor Man.
Those are both Wayans movies, aren't they?
Well, yeah. Blank Man was a Wayans movie. Meteor Man, I'm not sure if it was a Wayans movie, but they were both African-Americans in a superhero
that's
role.
Robert
with
Townsend, I think.
The Robert Townsend movie. Which, but
they're
they were,
super silly.
But they're both kind of spoofs.
Yeah,
but
they're both spoofy.
But they made like My Super Ex-Girlfriend with Uma Thurman, and nobody gave a shit about that movie.
And then they tried with Hancock. That was R-rated.
Yeah.
Hancock was decent, though.
Yeah.
Meteor Man and that Blank Man, that was some stupid shit.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that no more.
What about Steel with Shaq?
Yeah, I was going to say Steel.
Oh, my God. You know what? Who's that little electric kid? Who's that little electric kid that rode the sewer?
Static Shock.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Let's just stop right there.
I think Jaden Smith is going to play Static Shock.
Oh, my God. You shoot yourself a foot for that one.
No, I mean, we're going to see it. I mean, it's inevitable. I think the question is rhetorical because we're going to see copycat films.
We're going to see something. I don't know what it's going to be from DC, maybe Lobo. But, I mean, who else could they get to parody or to kind of satirize the DC superhero universe? I mean,
Deadpool is such a perfect character for this that – anything else? Yeah. I can't think of anything. I want you guys to read this James Gunn rant from Facebook. I'll put a link in the show notes. It's very good. Basically, you know, he just says, hopefully in the midst of all this, there'll be a studio too that will take the right lesson from this, like Fox did with Guardians, by green lighting Deadpool and say, boy, maybe we can give them something they don't already have. And that's what people are looking for. It was great. A great way to fight the superhero fatigue and what a great first movie for 2016, first of like seven coming out or six, man.
That's what Hollywood could really give us, a break. Maybe a 1 or 2 year break from superhero movies completely and make us want them again and then come out with some super great shit.
You know what, though? I mean, that'd be ideal. But when Hollywood sees 200 and some odd million in its second week, you think they're going to take a break from making money?
Nope.
I don't know about that. Nope.
I ain't saying that at all.
We're definitely not getting a break until 2020. That's for sure, people.
Never getting a break.
It's pumping it out. Do you think this movie could have worked as PG-13 at all?
It could have, but it wouldn't have made as much money.
You don't think it would have? You think it would have made less? Is this the one case where the PG-13 would have made less money?
Because I think it's forbidden fruit, and a lot of these kids want to see it, and it adds to the mystique.
I agree. And
there were a ton of kids and teenagers in my theater.
Look, all that horse shit about it, I can't take my kid. Look, if you're a parent, you know it's a case-by-case basis. Go see the movie. You know if your kid can handle it. And look, if I was like 10 years old and my dad took me to see this, I would be like, you're the best dad ever. And he would just win all dads.
It's really not appropriate for kids, though.
It's not. It's not an appropriate movie for kids.
Like if the kid's like 14, okay, that's fine.
What do you think Suicide Squad should try for an R rating now?
No, stick with what they got.
Yeah. I mean, don't fuck with something that you already have pretty much done. Like, don't change it on the fly like that just to accommodate. I think the R rating is something that people can look at and be like, okay, we can make films that are R rated that'll make money. But don't look at just the R rating and be like, oh, now we just need gratuitous blood and violence in all our movies.
Well, you have like Vertigo, and all these and some of these Image comics that are made, you know, they're adult in their nature already.
Yeah.
All right. But, you know, normal comics, they're just for the general audience anyway. So there's no reason to make them R rated like, you know, at all. You know, like the Punisher, you can make R rated. You know, Daredevil, you don't have to. You can go PG-13 with Daredevil and it's fine. You know what I mean?
We may, look, moving forward, we may see an R-rated X-Force movie with Deadpool leading a team of mutants. Just imagine that. Like that, now that's completely possible.
Did you mention that Wolverine is, it's confirmed, I believe.
Is that, it's confirmed that it is going to be,
I don't know if it's
confirmed. Logan.
One of my friends was like, it's confirmed Wolverine's R-rated, the third one.
I probably is by now because I kept seeing articles about Wolverine. And they're just going to go
that
for it.
That actually does make sense, though, because it's always weird that he fights people and has claws and no one gets torn to fucking shreds.
Yeah, and he'd be filthy mouthed, too. He's Wolverine.
Right.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm accustomed to the Wolverine that we have now, and it's not all that bad. And in that the last one, the Wolverine, he was slashing up some people. You didn't see pieces flying all over the place, but he was sticking them pretty good. I could deal with that because kids really want to see Wolverine. And to make it R-rated, I think it would be a disservice to its real fan base.
What about the kids?
What about the kids? Dude, you know who could play Cable? I think the perfect guy. Dude from Avatar. Stephen Lang, the bad guy.
He's been campaigning,
he wants it.
Right?
Yeah. He wants it.
I mean, he's jacked. He's older. He looks good. He looks the part.
Who else could play Cable? Who's an older
Austin?
Steve Austin.
Stone Cold Steve.
Stone Cold Steve. Well, that can he?
I don't think he can grow hair though.
No, he could wear a wig. That's okay. Can he act?
He doesn't have to act. Are you kidding me?
I got a name for you.
Yeah.
Ted Danson.
Oh shit!
I would love to see Ted Danson.
What about Clooney? No.
Oh. Clooney's too much of a pretty boy for me.
How about Jeffrey Dean Morgan?
That would work.
That's like, yeah.
A lot of people want to see Henry Rollins also play this role. You got your John Hamm?
Yeah, maybe
nah,
John.
He's too goofy. Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson.
Oh, snap.
No.
No way on Liam Neeson.
Mel, how about your Mel Gibsons?
Yeah.
Too old. Mel Gibson's too old.
But he's an older guy.
About Ron Perlman's?
Ron Perlman would work if he wasn't so old either.
How old is Cable? How old? This guy doesn't have to be that old.
He's got the silver fox hair, but I don't feel like he's an old man.
Yeah, you could be in your 50s and you have silver hair.
How about the dude who plays Abraham on Walking Dead?
He would work. He looks like him. If I'm going by looks, yeah, he would work.
Yeah, but if that's the case, anybody could play anybody. You can make anybody look like anybody, so I think the whole field is open.
Just give it to Nick Cage.
Oh, shit.
I would love that if it was Nicolas Cage.
That
would be the greatest thing in the world.
Nicolas Cage, speaking of Kick-Ass and Nicolas Cage, his role in Kick-Ass, he was amazing.
Yeah.
He was his impersonation of Adam West, which is what the whole thing was.
Yes, he's totally channeling Adam West. But, like, talk about this movie being so meta and being so referential. Put Nick Cage in it. Now he's making fun of himself, trying to be a superhero.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, Kick-Ass, like, anything that Mark Miller writes is ripe he's very satirical about the comic book industry. So Kick-Ass, that's his stuff. Wanted and the Kingsman, that was a great parody satire of the superhero.
Yeah, site. Kingsman. Yeah, yeah.
So Mark Miller is just fucking cranking this shit out. That's all ripe for making movies. Like, he's specifically writing shit to make movies.
You know, like, what he also created or made? Civil War.
Oh, he wrote Civil War. That's right. Yeah. I mean, I think we can all agree that this movie, Deadpool, I think it's going to change like the face of X-Men movies moving forward.
They needed this, Fox, because I think who plays fucking Mystique? What's her name again? Jennifer Lawrence.
J-Law,
McAvoy, and Fassbender. Or I think this is their last film.
Oh,
all
done.
Three of them. Mm. And that's why they're kind of introducing those young X-Men. If you notice, they casted a young Cyclops, Jean Grey, Storm. So Ryan Reynolds can kind of take the torch from those three, as well as Hugh Jackman, and lead us into the next realm of X-Men.
That's pretty good.
Mutants.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that.
Oh, they're super crooks.
Super Crooks.
Did you ever read Super Crooks?
Oh, Mark Millar. Yeah, Mark Millar.
Oh, that's a freaking great. Oh, that's amazing. They should make that into a movie. That would be a Deadpool-like movie.
That's good. I mean, I think
that's actually a good story.
I think they're going to look at a lot of his books now and be like, look, we can do this. We can actually do this and do it justice. And we're not restricted by being afraid of just having fun and putting some adult stuff in there and not catering.
Final thoughts,
guys. Let's go around the room. Do right. Why don't you start us off? Or maybe not.
Do right.
Do Rizzy.
Do right. It is your mother. We need your opinions.
All right. I'll start.
Okay.
So final thoughts on Deadpool. I don't know if I ever got to say this, but I only found the film to be okay.
Okay. Well, let's grade it. What grade would you give it?
I would give it a C. C plus.
Wow.
It's just not my type of film. I like reading Deadpool comics, but the joke after joke after joke after joke and seeing which one sticks for me doesn't work on film as much. It's just not my cup of tea. But I give it props because it is Deadpool. And the whole plot and everything about it, all the way the movie was shot and made was how Deadpool, if it was a comic on screen, would look. So props to that. I thought it was an okay movie. And it just shows that when you like a character and understand a character and put it on film, that's all you really need is you just trust the character and trust in the character, you know, the marketing and all that stuff. Just trust in what you put on. If you believe that the character is this great and understand it uniquely, then I think it can succeed. So I thought it was an okay film. It's not my cup of tea, but props to them for making this, for blowing my expectations out of the
water. Right on. Rugboy, what would you grade this movie?
I would probably do a B minus. All right, if we're gonna get into like, you know, we grade school stuff.
Let's do letter grades.
Letter grades. I feel like that the last act left something to be desired. I felt like the plot was non-existent. I wasn't really crazy about the over the top Colossus voice, and I didn't like the bad guy, but I did love like. This movie cost under $60 million to make.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Okay, let's just throw that. That's the first thing. Tim Miller, Ryan Reynolds, they rose to the occasion, and they committed, and that's to be commended. And they went for it. They went for it. They threw every joke they had out there. They went sophomoric. They went for every dick joke, every cock joke, every fuck they could throw in there, they threw in there. So you got to give them credit for that. So with all of its little things that, you know, kind of knock it down from getting an A rating, you know, like, you know, it could have been a little longer. It seems like, but, you know, for what they did with the money, you got to commend them.
It's absolutely. A commendable feat. Yeah. Do right. What grade would you give Deadpool?
Well, I think I'll be generous. I'm going to give Deadpool an A for effort.
Shit.
They did something that Hollywood has been struggling to do, is to give the fans exactly what they wanted. And I think they accomplished that big time, and I give them big props for that. They brought a character that everybody loves, like Rogue Boy say, loves almost too much, but gave them exactly what they wanted. I had a friend of mine, he came into work, he went seeing the first showing when it came out. He came back, he's like, that was Deadpool. And I'm like, the dude was excited. He had a tear in his eye. And I have to give him an A for that, because you it's hard for you to say you get that whole feeling from a character from any movie you've seen before that you know the source material from. Yeah, I thought it was a little short. It was a little cartoony, but I appreciated it. I appreciated it for what it was. And, yeah, I liked the film. I'm definitely going to see it again. And it was worth the A,
man. And I thought I love everything. I was leaning heavy towards a B plus, but I kind of felt the same way. I'm definitely going to see it again. I love it for the passion Ryan Reynolds has in this, for them catering to the comic book geeks and giving us what we want, yet making it so accessible. I love it for it's a nice just the R-rated comedy. It's an R-rated comedy. It's a return to like your Porky's or your Hangover, or it reminds me of stuff like that. His timing was great, but just what a fun movie. What a way to reinvigorate this genre. I think it's going to get a lot of people more into, even more people come into these superhero movies that we have moving forward. So B+.
I have one final question.
Do it.
Do you think this movie should make all the money that it's making?
Does it deserve it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, like, is this like a $500 million movie to you?
No, I would go no, because I didn't, I saw the movie and I was like, eh, it's okay. I did not expect it to be this high and already in terms of money. So, I mean, it's not a great plot. The movie,
so there's a fluke factor to it.
There's a fluke factor for sure.
The fluke?
There might be not a fluke factor, but a right place, right time. And genius marketing.
That's what I was going to say. It's the marketing, the word of mouth. I don't think this is a $500 million movie, and it surprises the crap out of me.
Because we were talking about it, and I said $200 million. You guys like, no fucking way. Ant-Man didn't make that. It's not going to make as much as Ant-Man. So we all were on board with it before we even saw it, that it was not going to be a $500 million movie.
But the fact that no R-rated movie, no comic book movie, no first-time debut movie has ever performed like this, there's some crazy shit going on. Durite, what do you think?
I think it was just the character and the name. I mean, there's a lot of people that just love Deadpool. I don't know why, but they love it. And they were just ready to go run to the movie and see this. Comic-Con hyped the hell out of Deadpool, and it helped them big time. And the anticipation was there. It was almost like Star Wars. I mean, people was waiting for a new Star Wars. People were waiting for a good Deadpool. And the reason why I think they really made this money is because they fucked up Deadpool so much the first time that people just was hoping for a redemption, and they got it.
My counter to Rugboy is it might not deserve that much money in terms of it being a quality film, but shit, Jurassic World made $650 million domestically.
I was going to mention that a long time.
$1.6 billion worldwide, baby. So what deserves to be making a ton of money doesn't necessarily make a ton of money, and what doesn't deserve to make a ton of money makes a shit ton of money sometimes.
Yeah, I like this movie more than fucking Jurassic World.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So
did I.
Absolutely. It's going to be a lot of people's top X-Men movie. You know, they're just going to consider it an X-Men movie. And, Durite, we are all confused as to why little kids like Deadpool. I think it's the video games. That's got to be the only place. They're not reading the comic books.
I think it's cosplay, too. I think it's cosplay. I think it's the internet memes. I think it's – I mean, that's how it is. It's like the internet memes. Like, they watched – they've had him, like, cameo on a couple of cartoons here and there. And people like wisecracking guys. You know, when you're a little kid, you like their wisecracks. You like the jokes.
Fuck Layfield. I'm just quoting the movie. That's all.
I mean, Deadpool's the embodiment of, like, Saturday Night Live memes – breaking the fourth wall. Like, he's the embodiment of all the things that everyone enjoys, like, about the internet and about TV and all that stuff.
This
all
is, you know what I thought? This is the class clown of superhero movies. Exactly. Now,
I also think if Deadpool didn't have a full face mask, it would probably make him look a little sillier. But he looks cool because he's got that full face mask and he's like a ninja and all that stuff.
Very iconic.
It plays
and
into a lot of things. The guns, the ninja, the swords. He's got everything. Like, that's what they did. They made a superhero with has everything, you know?
Just even the red, like the choice of red.
Oh yeah.
That is like if there's any color you want to put a superhero in, it's red. It's the most fucking vibrant color. I mean, the most noticeable character.
Your class,
you see.
I mean, Spider-Man has red, Superman has red, Daredevil has red, like your classic iconic heroes, you become almost instantly iconic.
Well, you know, something that I think really made this movie great, and I think a lot of people like, and it's getting around. Like, you remember the scene where Colossus handcuffs him and he cuts off his own hand?
Yeah.
And he leaves the hand behind, and you see what he did? He gave a big fuck you finger to the industry, to me. That's what he did. And a lot of people feel like that every day. And this movie was a big fuck you to what the big executives think is what good movies are.
I mean, it was almost it was almost a fuck you to Fox in some points. Like, the balls on this movie to insult the studio, the balls on this movie to put up a billboard with a shit emoticon, really big, and like nothing else. It's fantastic.
To sit here and give a fuck you to the people that's putting up money for this is big balls.
Big balls. Big chimichanga balls.
Even though this was made by Fox, there was a lot of the sentiment, I think, coming into this film that this was like the film that like the little guy could make, like Ryan Reynolds pushing this for 6 or 7 years, them initially fucking up Deadpool. It was like that. It was like the fans film. It almost felt like,
yeah,
this is for you. This film is for the fans. This one is, you guys made this possible. Without your help, this film never gets made. So it was almost like the fans rallying. They created this atmosphere of the fans rallying around and making this film happen.
I mean, it is a good observation. Anthony, this is a fan film. This is the first like studio fan film, really.
Where they were like listening to the fans and be like, wait, they keep talking about this fucking character that we screwed up. I guess we finally have to give in.
Yeah.
And this is what
it wasn't Snakes on a Plane.
No.
All right. All right, gang, let's wrap it up.
Doc and Nerd.
Before we give out our final plugs here, I have some special news, kind of a soft launch. Now, you may have seen this on our Twitters and Facebooks by the time this show posts, but this is the first show where we're announcing that we have now Jock and Nerd merchandise.
Oh, shit.
Merchandise.
Jock and Nerd. Just like, what was his name?
Spaceballs.
In Spaceballs. Spaceballs. We got merchandising. Listener, just go to jockandnerd.com/shop. A good friend of mine who is a graphic designer named Margie, thank you, Margie, had set up a Spreadshirt shop, and all I did was send over our logo. Now you can get our logo on anything.
Geek Booner.
Really, anything.
Anthony, what are some of the items that people can buy our logo on?
What do you think of the normal apparel, like jackets, shirts, not pants, but kids' shirts, Dago tees, all
tank
that
tops.
Shit.
They
tank
have
tops,
girl yeah. stuff.
They
too.
Have girl they stuff. They
baby
have kids'
sizes.
Stuff. There's but, hoodies.
Ooh, I can
There's
get hoodies.
iPhone cases.
Tote bags. Mugs.
Mugs.
Mouse pads. If anybody, I don't know who the fuck uses a mouse pad. I don't know why they even offer that.
Dildos.
It's, and not only that, there's an editor. editor. Is that one of them? I'll have to ask. Not only dildos. I don't know if that's possible. That's on adamandeve.com. There's an editor where you can take our logo and you can add text on it and custom a one-off shirt for whatever you want. So, listener, go to jockandnerd.com/shop. It's going to take you right to the Spreadshirt page with all of our merch. We get a couple of bucks. It helps out the show. And let us know what you think. We're going to get some Rugboy merch going soon. Try to work him into the mix.
He might outsell us.
Yeah, that's the problem. Once I put up the Rugboy merch, no one's going to buy anything else.
Oh, yeah.
I think we lost Do-Right, but I was going to tell Do-Right to tell, hey, Do-Right, tell everybody where you are. Well, you can find me at Sea Stories. I'm doing Do-Right. Sea Stories of Mr. Do-Right on YouTube.
I thought he was in the room. Perfect.
He must have drove through a tunnel or something. Rugs, where can they find you?
There's only one place for Rugboy other than the Jock and Nerd podcast, and that's... No. you can find me on Twitter at ReallyRugboy.
Yes, and check out the show notes for this show. Everything will be in jockandnerd.com/Deadpool. Now, if you like the show, you can help us out. You can buy some merch. But if you really like the show, subscribe in iTunes. Go to jockandnerd.com/review, and it'll take you right to our iTunes page. Leave us a rating and a reviewing. And if this is your first show, go check out the other shows. There's tons of great geeky content.
You can also contact us at jockandnerd.com/contact. We're on fucking every social media that you can think of. We also have phone numbers and emails and all that bullshit. So whatever you want to, however you want to contact us, if you want to fucking put a note on a fucking pigeon, we'll take those too.
Yeah. You got to get active, fan base.
Yes, let
I'm
us
talking
know.
Talking to you guys out there. Don't be a bunch of lazy shits, all right? There's people that are writing us, sending us shit, messages, reviews. You got to get involved. You got to post the shit on Facebook. You got to be like, hey, listen to this show.
Oh, shit.
Passive.
Listener.
I love Rugboy's call to action.
Rugboy just called you out, listener. You going to let him talk to you like that? You going to let Rugboy talk shit to you like that? All you got to do is tell a friend. Just tell a friend. Go up to the next person you see. Give him one of these.
Jock and Nerd.
Or do what Rugboy said. Otherwise, he's going to come to your house and do bad things to your kitty cat.
I'll let you smell my breath.
You know what, Rugboy? Anywhere near a 5-block radius of your house. Thanks for listening, folks. We enjoy every minute you spend with us. This has been the Jock and Nerd Podcast. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
He's the nerd.
We'll hear you next time.
Imran. Wait.
Yeah.
Edit out when I say Dago tees.
But that's what they're called.
That is what they're called, but that might be offensive.
It's
to some
not
people.
Offensive. Now, who, the Italians listening?
Dagos. What are we, 1925?
Dago tees.
They're guineas. Look, guinea tees.
Dude, that's what they've always been called in my house is Dago tees.
Yeah, you racist fucks.
What? But why? Have you noticed the tank top always has the worst nicknames? Wife beater, Dago tees, guinea.
Yeah, because there's only assholes wear that shit.
I'm leaving all this in. I'm not editing anything out.
I want to love you, Dago tee.
It's so weird. I've never heard it called tank top until I got to college,
yeah,
and I was like, tank top, that's what a woman wears. What are you talking about? Like, for me, tank top is such a womanly term for it.
Oh, that's interesting.
I just call them titty shirts.
Wife beaters. Just asshole shirts.
Like, what if you don't beat your wife? What if he just beat your meat?
Meat beaters.
What is the third one you said?
He said guinea tees.
Guinea tee. What does that mean?
Guinea is another derogatory term for Italian. Yeah,
guinea is I think in Chicago, they call people Dago. East Coast, we... You know, the guineas call each other, that's what they call each other, guineas.
Guineas.
I asked my dad, who's Polish, who grew up with like Italians, I'm like, why do they call it Dago tees? And without even blinking, because that's what all the Dagos wear. Straight, I'm like, oh, all right. What is a Dago, Dad?
What's a Dago? It's just become, you don't even know. They just
you want to know? Okay, I'll give you the origin of this.
Okay, good.
Okay. Back in the day when there was like in the 20s and shit and there was prohibition. All of these guys, they wore suits, but under their suits, they wore the tank top, you know, because they don't want you to see your nips through the shirt. Not only that, but all these Italians were really hairy, so they needed another barrier so you wouldn't see, like, their chest hair pattern. So they put these tank tops on underneath their dress shirts.
Is that how that started?
Well, no. Like, I mean, it was a common thing to wear these shirts. It's like, but the Italians were the ones that would immediately, as soon as they came home,
they take everything off
everything and leave the shirt on, and hang around their house drinking beers and slapping their wives.
Because my dad also, like, he worked at a hotel. He had to wear a suit every day. He would always have the wife beater underneath, and he was not a wife beater.
But you probably refer to it as a wife beater, right?
I think I did. That's just how I knew it. But
I instinctively called it Dago.
No, I've heard that's very Midwest. It's very Chicago. I've heard that more.
Damn Dagos over there.
This isn't offensive, right? I can leave all this in.
Dago wine.
It's somewhat offensive. I'm kind of on the fence on how.
We're gonna get a letter from like the mafia.
Well, listener, let us know if that offended you. The mob guys are at my house right now, guys. I got a big guy named Tony outside. No, not that Tony.
Tony Trizak?
Tony.
It's funny, too, because like my mom always refers to my dad. He's like, when she's mad, she's like, shut up, Polak. Like, so I always thought that was normal, too. And apparently that's a derogatory term, too, that I didn't realize.
Is there a derogatory term for Filipinas?
Oh. So, I mean, flip. But not really.
That's not even that bad.
We get lumped into just being like a dog eater or chink or something Asian.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then on my end, I got, raghead, Arab, Packy.
Sand N-word.
Sand N-word.
That's the most egregious one. Because they're just lumping you in with another thing that everybody hates and just putting sand in front of it.
It's really it's very lazy. It's lazy writing. Like, if you could come up with, I like to call Packies brownies.
You're a San Diego.
Yeah, San Diego. San Diego.
You're San Diego.
Where in the world is Carmen San Diego? Is that a thing?
You're San Diego.
Dothead, that's one. Terrorist, you know.
Terrorist.
Camel jockey?
Camel jockey, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, they race camels. For when you race camels, you need a fucking camel jockey to get on the camel.
Yeah.
The funniest thing, though, is when 9/11 happened, people were so ignorant that they were yelling insults at the completely wrong race and religion of people.
Indians, right?
Sikh, specifically the Sikh people, who they wrap, you know, they can't cut their hair. They have to wrap it. They are like the most peaceful people. They have nothing to do with anything. And they were getting fucking chirped. And I was like, you guys are just fucking idiots. Well, you don't even know.
I mean, I understand that.
I know.
But like, you know, you just see somebody with a turban on that has the same complexion and you just make that leap.
Sure, all brown people are the same.
Well, no, no one's saying that.
No, I'm
but
saying
white
that.
People get lumped together too.
Yeah, everybody gets lumped together.
You know, like whatever. But like, I don't know. It's everybody's getting insulted by terminology. I really don't understand why people will get insulted by terminology.
It's funny how much power words really have.
Right. It's just words, man. When genetically we are literally all 99.999999% similar. It's just that little 0.001% that makes us different on the outside. But
yeah, but you can't even call me a puppet. Like you have to say Felty. That's the proper term.
We've gotten so politically correct.
Like, you know, what if I decide tomorrow that Felty's insulting?
Listen, I can't wait till Donald Trump wins the presidency and political correctness is thrown out the window, people.
Oh, shit.
We're going to be living in a country you could say whatever the fuck you want.
You know what else is going to be thrown out? All the Mexicans and Arabs.
Did you hear what he said?
Hey. You still here? Get out of here. Go home. What do you think? We're going to sit here and entertain you for 3 hours? The show's over. All right, get your whatever you're drinking, like some kind of a shake. Get that shit and get the fuck out of here. All right? Good night, fucker.